Welcome, everybody. We are happy to be here, broadcasting live from London,
Ontario,
not England. And with me, we have our esteemed godbrother in his home in London, Ontario, Gauradas.
Hare Krishna.
Who lives in a forest right off of Main Street. But you like the background, right? It's nice?
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, as promised, we're going to be talking about who decides. Do the modes of nature decide? Do your senses decide? Does your conditioning decide? Do the impulses and temptations of this world, do your impulses or temptations decide? Or do you decide? And how do you decide if you want to decide but you feel like you can't decide? So one of the first things that I think of is this wonderful response to the question when Prabhupada was asked, how do we become sincere? And then Prabhupada wrote his book, 108 Steps to Sincerity. No, he didn't. He didn't write that book, did he? All he said was,
Be sincere.
That solves the problem, right? Be sincere. That's it. So what did Prabhupada mean by that? He said, you just make a decision to be sincere. It's just a decision. You can be sincere, you can be insincere. It's up to you if you want to be sincere. Like we were talking last week about feeling and how can you have feeling when you don't have feeling? You know, like we're supposed to serve Krishna with bhakti, but we don't have it. And then Prabhupada said, you remember that conversation? And Prabhupada said, Krishna, I've brought you this food. I have no qualification. I have nothing I have is of any value, but I beg you, please accept it. So he's showing that there's an attitude, even you don't have bhakti, but that's the attitude you have. And so you decide, Krishna, this is how I'm offering it to you. You manifest that bhakti. You don't just say, well, I don't have any. So it's
an intent that you consciously
you're creating that attitude, you're creating that mood. And what was another? Be sincere. The other one where Prabhupada was told the devotee's weak, and Prabhupada said, why are you giving into weakness? In other words, this concept, well, I'm weak, so I can't do it. And Prabhupada's saying, why are you giving into weakness? Like weakness is stronger than you, so you're giving into it. So who's in charge here? Like when my daughter was young and our neighbors, their kids were young, sometimes the kids like rule the house. And the kids, you say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And you're at a store or something. And so our neighbor said, she was at a store and she was having trouble with her kids because they were dominating her. And the lady said, who's in charge? You're in charge of the kids. They're not in charge of you, right?
Take your power back.
And then she thought, yeah, why am I following them around everywhere when I have things to do and so forth?
She felt helpless.
Yeah, a little bit. So, excuse me. A lot of times, that's exactly the situation we're in. We feel situations control us. So wait a minute, who's in control, me or the situation? So I just found that very telling where Prabhupada is, why are you giving into weakness? You know, okay, I'm weak, all right, so what? You know, big deal, so you're giving into it? Be sincere. How do I become sincere? Just be sincere. That famous time when Prabhupada was asked, what's the greatest obstacle to bhakti? And he said, you're the greatest obstacle. So it's showing that, like you say, our power. We have power where we think we don't have it. Mm-hmm. We have to drink water because we're choking here. So if we bend forward too much, we look like monsters. We get too close to the screen. Maybe we look like monsters anyway, but try not to look more like monsters.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani Paranyahur Indriyebhya Paramana, that higher than gross matter are the senses, but higher than the senses is the mind. Higher than the mind is the intellect, but ultimately the soul is even higher than that.
Yes. So, one of the purports about fasting, you know that purport? Prabhupada talks about fasting.
Kadasi.
On any fast day, a decision to fast.
Mm-hmm. A vrat.
And you make a vrat, if you make a full decision that this is what I'm going to do, it's easier. Then if you kind of...
I'll try.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I read a thing that someone wrote and he said that if there's even 1% doubt about doing something, it creates all kinds of problems. It makes it so difficult. If there's 1%, maybe, it makes it difficult for you to do it. Whereas if it's 100%, it's actually easy. I'm just going to do it. I've made the decision. That's it. But if it's like, well, I'm pretty sure that creates all kinds of, can create all kinds of problems. So, and Prabhupada said, okay, it's a fast day. Once you decide, no problem. You already made the decision. Mm-hmm. It's final. So,
it's a matter of following through.
So in our lives, often we feel that we can't make those decisions, that things are the way they are. It applies to japa, for example. We sit down to chant and I don't feel like chanting right now, but I have to chant. You ever feel like that?
Too often.
So, okay, I don't feel like chanting, or too tired to chant, or mind is very disturbed. Not disturbed in the sense of angry, just it's wandering, it's not calm. So I'm chanting, and I don't know if you've had this experience, I think we all have. We're kind of resigned to, well, I'll just chant and my mind will calm down, and maybe 4 rounds, 6 rounds, 8 rounds, things will be better. Right? It's kind of, we accept that. But
the quality often improves after you've chanted.
Yeah. So we're in that mindset, that frame of mind. My mind's disturbed now, there's nothing I can really do, just keep chanting. And in a distracted way, and it'll calm down, which may be true. But what I have found when I came to understand and realize that the nature of the mind is that we have much more control over the mind than we think. Mm-hmm. And when I learned that, I would begin to practice just stopping the wanderings of mind and just focusing and say, okay, now I would tell myself, you can calm down and you can hear. You just kind of prod myself to reinforce the realization that it's not the mind that's in charge, it's not the day's activities that's in charge, it's not the conditioning, but ultimately I can make a decision that I'm going to stop the thoughts about what's going on later in the day or what went on yesterday or whatever it is that's disturbing me and just decide that I'm going to hear. And amazingly, in a matter of seconds, we can actually bring the mind down. Now our conditioning is to think, and all you out there going, or maybe thinking, well, maybe you can do that, or you've had practice, or whatever. That's I can't do that, or I've never done that, or that's not possible. That's why I picked this topic, because that very understanding is the cause of the problem. Well, you can't do that; it's not possible. Isn't that what Arjuna said to Krishna about the mind?
Yeah, it's more difficult to control than the wind.
Okay, so. So the mind's more difficult to control than the wind, but Krishna didn't say it's impossible to control.
He said by constant practice and detachment.
Yeah. So, detachment means I'm not the mind, right? Okay, I'm not the mind. So if I'm not the mind, and I'm transcendental to the mind, I am the controller of the body, controller of the mind, controller of the senses. In theory, at least I have the option. Maybe you might say, well, I'm not the controller, my senses control. But my point is, you have the option. Krishna never took away that option. Say, it's so difficult, I'm so much controlled. Krishna never took away that option, you're just not using it. Mm-hmm. But you always have that option. So you're sitting down to chant and you don't feel like it. You're not in the mood, you don't have the right attitude. Your mind is not peaceful. You can create the intention at that point that right now, this is what I'm going to do. Because I'm ultimately the one who makes the decisions. Now I'm allowing the fatigue in my body, I'm allowing the things that were disturbing me during the day to affect me, or I'm allowing whatever it is that's not fostering good japa to affect me, and then going on with it and just accepting, well, that's the way it is, because that's the way it is, because it's always that way, and everybody knows that you have to chant 8 rounds before your mind comes down. So we create a mindset in which we're giving in to forces which we could control, but we're allowing them to control us. It's kind of like we're fighting, instead of clearing the path in the forest, trees are falling on us and we're kind of pushing them away instead of just cutting through. So no, I can't cut through, I have to. So we're allowing ourselves to be in a position of fighting the forces rather than determining where we want to go, and then they kind of abide to the side. Like Prabhupada said, chanting, you don't need the mind. Where's the question of the mind? So what did he mean by that? It means you can turn that off. You can decide, okay, if I don't need the mind, let's just turn it off. So that the devotee will think, you could just turn your mind off?
Yeah.
You could. But how? You just do it.
Don't you utilize the mind? Doesn't the mind have a role in the chanting process?
The chanting process is more of a connection with Krishna on a deeper level than the mind and intellect. Like, if you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then you go to your mind and you think, am I chanting well? Now you've lost connection with the association of the holy name, because you're going into your mind, because chanting is not a mental process. Am I chanting well? How many rounds did I chant? How many more do I have left? Will I finish now? This is all these. Wonder if my wife's chanting also. I'm not chanting too good. Maybe I should chant later. All this, it's Prabhupada saying, you don't need that. You just, you're just hearing, you're feeling, you're experiencing, you're with Krishna. But oftentimes, when the mind is doing all that, we think that's just the way it is, and so we go with it.
And accept that as the norm.
Yeah, and why do we accept it as the norm? Because it is the norm. Because we're not doing anything about it.
In our conditioned state.
We're not doing anything about it. So what happens is, the mind, I like to look at the mind something like a Ferris wheel. And let's say it's got little seats in it. You know? That's right, it's a Ferris wheel, right?
Right.
So let's say it's got 25 seats, right? And so, you know, the Ferris wheel goes around, and then the same seat's going to come back. So, you know, I'm worried about this, concerned about this fear, what's this person thinking, you know? So there's like 25 thoughts or so. And if you look at your mind, you'll see they tend to just go around, the same thoughts. Well, I wonder if I'm going to be late for this, or you know, I wonder what he's thinking, or I'm afraid to do that. And then they're just going around. Well, here it comes again. And so, but that's pretty much what our mind's doing all day. It's, you know, it's the same thoughts.
Going through different channels.
Yeah, going through different channels, and they're repeating. So then we sit down to chant, and what's going on? The same channels are going. Right? So the same thing that's going on in your mind, you sit down to chant, and all the difference is the holy name's coming out, but the Ferris wheel's going around. Mm. So unless you decide, make a decision, I am going to calm the mind, it tends not to calm, because you're allowing its programming, its Ferris wheel, its autopilot, its conditioning, just to keep going. You haven't stopped it, because you don't think you can, or you don't know how. But just the realization that I can do that is amazing. It's like not everybody has that realization, that I can actually do that. No, you can't. Yes, you can. Why can't you? What's the reason you can't? Oh, you can't. My mind's so difficult. And then we have devotees, every devotee ever tell you, Prabhu, my mind is really giving me trouble. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Oh, Prabhu, you don't know what my mind is like. It's really, so we're.
Prabhupada said I have one too.
Yeah, so it's like we're giving into this. Okay, all right. Your mind's giving you trouble. Our minds give us trouble. But the point is, that's not the end of the story. So what are you doing about it? So that when we express that, then what we're saying is, I can't do anything about it, which is not true. Did Krishna create us in a way? Oh, it's frozen, no sound. Frozen and no sound. So frozen for you?
I can't even find you.
You went to Krishna.com on the homepage? And you should just go back again. We'll go off and go on again. Hold on. I'm gonna go off and go on again. Let's see what happens. Hold on, everyone. We'll be right back. Okay. You're on Krishna.com and you don't see a screen?
I do, but you're not there.
You should be there now. Are we there now? That's totally weird. Okay, can you see us now? Oh.
You mean the screen that's constantly changing with different...
No, there is motion.
It's just live video right on the homepage. Let's go to the... We can go to Krishna.com. See, it froze there. You just go to KRSNA or Krishna.com, yeah.
Is because the connection is slow?
No, there we go. We're behind a few moments here.
Okay.
Could be a slow connection. Something. It says here the connection is low. So it could have frozen. Now, let's see. Same here. Keeps getting stuck. Stopped again. Yeah. That's weird. Bad connection. Move closer to the router. Bring the router out. I don't know.
Can the router be brought out of the room?
The router is, it's a bit jerky, but better.
Doesn't have a wire?
I think,
it's open. It should be open.
Speaker move. We're moving and speaking. I guess what's happening now is this connection is running slow. It's going from, now we're at 24 megabytes per second. It should be at 54. It says we're low. But the router's in the house. Weird. Frozen for me. So Carol says it's frozen. It's not frozen, it's just moving slow. Right? Now it's frozen. Look at it. See? Yeah, it's just moving slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Yeah, now it's moving. Yeah, okay.
How much time do you have? 1 hour?
Yeah, so... It will be slow. Obviously. So let's continue. So, it will be slow. Okay, so we're going to continue. We're going to look like robots, I guess, unless this can, I don't know why the connection is slow. It might be faster if you get offline, because less computers at one time. Is your computer online?
Yeah, I just
went off. Your computer in your room is online?
Oh. Bandwidth, 36 now. Is your computer online?
No.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to continue. And the best we can do now. So we're talking about... I was talking about the nature of the mind, where it repeats itself, and we become so accustomed to that, right? That we think, well, that's normal, or we think, well, that's just the only way it works. And we don't realize that if our mind is disturbed, that we can exert influence over it, we can take action based on the things that Prabhupada said. Why are you giving in to weakness? Be sincere. How do you be sincere? Become sincere. Be sincere. And Krishna says, yes, you can control the mind. It takes what?
Constant practice and detachment.
Yeah. Detachment. Yeah, because we think we're the mind, so you're detaching yourself. You're observing. You're taking the role of observer. And that observer has the power to control it and has the power to change. You know, just like if you're angry, you actually have the power to stop your anger. But if you don't think you have it, mm-hmm. you can't. Or sometimes I remember my mother occasionally when she would get upset or angry. Now Carol says it's frozen again. Are you sure it's frozen? Some movement. Yeah, it's just getting a low signal here. Probably, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so what was I saying?
I was thinking about my point
I think everybody's frozen now. So we're so accustomed to the mind being a certain way, then we don't think we have control over this conditioning because it seems to be who we are. And say, well, every time I chant, it takes me 3, 4, 5, 6 rounds to calm down, get in the mode of goodness, whatever. So we accept that as normal. We don't think we could make an intention to create something from the beginning, a decision, a sankalpa. Now, a sankalpa is just like what Prabhupada said, you know, he decided to fast. So that's what you do. So I'm going to decide what my mind's going to do. Oh, I was saying, then you become angry and you think, how could I stop being angry like that? But you can. So no, I was telling the story. My mother, sometimes when she would get mad, she'd be really upset and she'd be letting us know we did something wrong or whatever. If you could imagine I ever did anything wrong, I don't know. It's not possible, but she thought I did. So, and then the phone rang and it'd be her friend. And she'd start talking.
Everything would change.
And they'd be laughing and like, she's not going to be angry at her friend. So it just shows that that state of mind could be changed in a second. It just happened that her friend changed it for her. But we think, well, how could I change my state? But it happens all the time.
It's called neuro-linguistic programming.
There's different...
NLP.
Yeah, it could be. Could be NLP. It could be... It's just a realization that states of mind can change very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I learned about this, one time my daughter was in a bad mood and my wife said, just gave her to me and said,
you deal with her.
I was like, I can't deal with her.
Yeah.
So my daughter was, you know, really, something happened, really upset. So I said, Braja, you want to get yogurt and rub it on my head? And it took her out of it in 1 second.
Wow.
She said, yeah, and she ran in and rubbed it over my head.
You're a child psychologist.
So it just, you can change your state of mind a lot quicker than you think. But because of the way we are, then we think.
This reminds me of the Socratic story of the cave dwellers getting mesmerized by the shadows on the wall. And someone who lived outside the cave started talking to them about how amazing light and sunshine is. And they couldn't really relate to it, but they thought they'd take steps to the mouth of the cave. And when they saw how bright the sun was, and it was so unusual, they went back to watching shadows on the walls.
Yeah.
So we remain in the shadow. We imprison ourselves. We limit our self-limiting belief.
Yeah. In so many ways, yeah. Because it's the norm. This is the way it's always been. So we think that's the only way. Or just like you become upset about something. And when you're upset, you rationalize why you're upset. Because this happened, therefore I'm upset. And that's the only way you may know how to respond to that situation.
It's also embarrassing to look upset. And so you want to rationalize or justify. Well, I have good reason to be upset.
Exactly. And or I have a good reason to hate this person. hey, I had a good reason to drop a bomb on the, you know, this, you know, embassy building, or run an airplane into a Twin Towers. They're all, you know, everyone's got a good reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of all we know. So when you realize, well, actually, there are more ways to react than one, that you do have options, you have choices, you realize Krishna has given us so many choices in any situation. This is what he gives us. You know, this free will. It's a choice to respond in a variety of ways. So that you go through scripture and you see the scripture is showing you how to respond. Like you have this story of Ambarish Maharaj. So how did he respond to someone who tried to kill him? It's an amazing response.
He decided to fast for an entire year, thinking that actually he was the cause of all the disturbance.
Yeah. What a response.
Yeah.
Your guest comes to your house, he's not satisfied, and he decides, man, it wasn't good enough for me, it's time to kill you. And then, of course, he was protected, and then Ambarish Durvasa comes back. And now Ambarish says, okay, really you didn't do anything, let's have dinner. And I was making this point last night. Could you imagine serving dinner to someone who an hour ago tried to kill you?
No.
Could you imagine? It's like, so, you know, we would think there's only a few ways to react to this situation, and that certainly isn't one of them. That wouldn't enter our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. It's not our culture.
Yeah. So the point is, really, we have choices in how we react. Even we may consider some of these way beyond our capacity, but the more we want to be Krishna conscious, and the more we understand what are the proper behaviors and reactions to situations, the more we'll be able to do it, because we start to realize that actually we can do a lot more than we think we can. It's just we, like I make this point, in my forgiveness class, when people are hurt, they're responding to that hurt with frustration, with anger, with resentment, with grudges, and so forth. And that's, they're stuck in that. And it just feels normal. That's like, well, of course, you would react this way also. We're stuck in that. And then what I try to help them understand is that your reaction is one of many reactions. To you, it seems normal.
But there are options.
There are options. You don't, you know, you have to get mad when somebody hurts you, right? That's just the way it's always been. So I was thinking of this nursery rhyme, sticks and stones can break my bones,
but words will never hurt me.
Yeah, that's like, you know, that's like, just like deep wisdom. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Right? Isn't that deep wisdom? Like it's really...
Sometimes we'd say it defiantly.
Yeah.
But words will never hurt me.
Yeah, because we're hurt. Yeah. But we're trying to show that you want to get a response from me.
But I'm not going to give you that satisfaction.
You say, it's okay, if you throw a rock at me, it's going to hurt me. But you throw a name at me, I'm not going to respond with anger, because that can't hurt me.
Because I'm above that.
Yeah.
I'm better than that.
Yeah, I decide what hurts me. I'll decide. Yeah. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, nobody can hurt you.
Except yourself.
Unless you hurt yourself. Unless you no one can hurt you. You're actually allowing them to hurt you. So you get mad at me, right? So I can walk off and say, that's Gora. He can't control himself.
Even one lone preacher could accomplish many things for Krishna, provided the preacher was free from sense gratification and desire for profit, adoration, and distinction.
Wow.
In The Servant of a Servant, Tamal Krishna Maharaj's book, Prabhupada is quoted as saying, actually, everything belongs to Krishna, and if he likes, he can immediately give us the whole USA. But he is very cautious because we are prone to the allurement of Maya. So he does not give us all of a sudden all the facilities. He does not give us all the facilities lest we may fall prey
to the illusory presentations of Maya. Just like a physician does not give delicacies to a suffering patient, but as he recovers from the disease, the physician allows him to accept palatable dishes. From the Nectar Book, number 3. Prabhupada replied, a devotee may be massaging...
Oh, it's perfect now.
A devotee may be massaging Krishna's left leg. And then he may think, now I will massage Krishna's right leg. Of course, that is also service to Krishna. But Krishna may feel that he wants more massaging on his left leg still.
Now, how does this relate to what we're talking about?
The idea is to understand what is Krishna's desire. What does Krishna want?
And then? So I understand what he wants and I can't do it. So how does it relate? You know, like the whole problem is we understand so many things and it's all up here.
And then often
when we understand it, it's just another thing we understand we can't do. Or we tell ourselves, well, that's just another thing on the list that I'm not going to be able to do. Excuse me.
Well, that's true. As long as you think like that, you won't be able to do it.
Yeah, so...
Krishna's ultimately the doer. We're meant to be the instrument.
So how do we deal with this? This, okay, that's nice. You know, hey, look at what Ambarish did. That's nice. I get angry. I'm Pita. Pita people get angry. That's my nature, my father. You know, we have like a whole
fiery nature.
We have a whole list of reasons why we are the way we are. And then...
But you're not your conditioning.
So how do we deal with that? You know,
first,
that,
as you were pointing out earlier...
Thank you.
Become conscious. Become conscious that at least don't be in denial. Try to become more aware of your present state of consciousness or what your obstacles are. Of course, it helps to have association because association can point out sometimes.
We may not always have it. That's the,
yeah.
For most people, they're living alone and or living with their family. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of association.
They can pray to Krishna, please reveal to me within my heart where my shortcomings are that I may improve them.
But this idea of conditioning versus what I am able to do, what I am able to control. It seems that, we talk about conditioning. Well, I'm habituated to respond in a certain way. People aren't nice to me, I get upset, I become critical. It's a conditioning. Or it's hard for me to take advice. It's a conditioning. Or I'm not sympathetic with people. It's a conditioning. Or I feel that I'm weak in certain areas. And I tend to give in to those areas. Well, I'm South American, and South Americans were like this. I'm Canadian. Well, Canadians are like this. Well, I'm this kind of person. You know, and then we have kind of conditioned or convinced ourselves that the conditioning is who we are. So how we can transcend that and direct our... I mean, it seems that Krishna consciousness means that we come to spiritual life with a certain kind of conditioning.
Like you were saying to me a couple of days ago, you know, I think it was you. You listen to so many Prabhupada recordings a day, and Prabhupada is constantly giving the slap of reality. He's reconditioning us or deconditioning us.
Yeah.
I think also
what Prabhupada is saying is Krishna consciousness is more powerful than the conditioning.
Than Maya, yeah.
but the problem that we often have is we believe the conditioning is who we are. You have to be real, it's a gradual process, and so these things are true, but at the same time, we don't have to give in to desires which are antithetical to bhakti, because when we become devotees, we're going against all the conditioning of many, many lifetimes and giving ourselves to Krishna. And then following a practice of sadhana. So right there we've really done what in a sense is illogical. It goes against everything we've known to be true.
Prabhupada said to become Krishna conscious means declaring war against the illusory energy.
So we've never done it before. We've never declared war before. And now we're doing it. And if at any point we think it's something I can't do, then we tend to give into that, and then that tends to become the reality. Mm-hmm. We've created the reality because of giving into what we think is real or
what we can do.
Normal, yeah.
Where we're at.
Yeah. So of course, obviously there's certain physical limitations, you know, or we have certain natures, but we're talking it within a certain parameters of Krishna consciousness, where we may give in too much to a nature mm-hmm. which is against. Okay, we all have our nature, but within that there are choices we can make, which are not always typical of what we've made in the past. And a lot of devotees don't realize this. They think, no, this is just how it is. So it's kind of giving in to situations and then coming up with a rationale of why it's true.
To feel good about it.
Yeah, but why would you want to come up with a rationale? Why something which is hurting you is inevitable?
Because it's a kind of comfort zone. Yeah. We think we'll be comfortable there. But, yeah,
but then you don't progress. Rather, what we're trying to do is see how to move forward, not see why we can't move forward. Have you ever been in that situation where you're not seeing how to move forward? You're only seeing the reasons you can't move forward?
Too often.
Oh, my mind, Prabhu, my mind, you don't know. You don't know how bad my mind is. You have no, my mind is really, I really have a hard time controlling. You know, so what are you doing by saying that? You're reinforcing the problem. And you're verifying it with, okay, and in your mind when you're
negative
saying that,
reinforcement, yeah.
You're saying that, and you're thinking about all the things you've done before you were a devotee that contributed to all these samskaras, impressions that are creating this mental attitude and reaffirming.
As you've said to me before, whatever we focus on expands.
Yeah, so if you put your attention on, in this example we're giving, oh, my mind's difficult to control, or I can't do something, it's not my nature, and you put your focus on that, then that's where you're because your attention is there, that's what continues to happen. So okay, it may be your nature to act in a certain way. Maybe you're not scholarly. So it's not my nature to be scholarly. That's okay. But still you need to read Prabhupada's book, so you need to have some control of your life. So you can at least read a little bit, a half hour or whatever. Not just okay. I can't read 4 hours.
See through the eyes of the Shastra.
Yeah. If it's something that you want to do, that's the whole idea. So in spiritual life, or what Prabhupada wanted us to do was to take the instructions that he gives us and then determine how we can follow them, or as he says, make that our life and soul. And not think, oh, those are nice, but
they don't apply to me.
There's so many buts. And even if the but is there and I can't fulfill it right away, it doesn't mean I can't move closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I'm not a sannyasi, it's not my nature. All right, that's fine. You're not gonna psych yourself up to
you're
be a sannyasi.
You're not gonna change your leopard's
yeah.
spots.
You can't psych yourself up to change that basic nature. But you can move forward a little more to a more Krishna conscious lifestyle, perhaps. You know, so, well, I'm not a sannyasi, so that means I just do whatever I want. I'm just a fallen grihasta, so
Prabhupada said the rules and regulations equally apply to all ashrams.
Yeah. So we just have to see where we have control, what we can control. And when you start doing that, you realize you have a lot more control
than what you give yourself credit
yeah,
for.
Yeah, you're like, well, I could never do that. Well, how do you know that? Well, I just know that. Have you tried? No, but I just know that.
And it's also true that you can't do it because Krishna's ultimately going to do it through you.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to be willing. You have to have the faith that
mm-hmm.
Krishna will do that. And the desire. So,
right.
So just the... Otherwise, what's the option? The option is who's running the show?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Why didn't you do this? Well, I was walking down the street and I went into the store and then I met this guy.
This reminds me of one analogy of, I think Prabhupada was in Germany, and there was a huge ocean liner in the dock, and a little tugboat was pulling it, and Prabhupada asked the devotees, do you know why that tugboat is able to do that? And the devotees asked, probably no why. And he said, because the big ship shut its engines off. So he said, that little tugboat is like Maya. She's able to pull us along because, like you said, we kind of gave in.
Yeah, give in. Well, this is just the way it is. This is the way I am. So, no. Okay, that may be the way you are. But as Prabhupada said, why are you giving in to weakness? Okay, if that's the way you are, but why are you giving in to it? Why aren't you? You're superior to the mind. You're superior to the intelligence. You are directing. You can, that's the whole point. You can direct the show. But this, so devotees out there saying, yeah, but how? Right? You're all saying that, right? Yeah, but how? It sounds, you're making it sound so simple. I'm just trying to make the point that first, you have to understand that you can direct your life. And you can't say, well, listen, the way my life is just the way it is. You can't say that because it's not true. I mean, your life is the way it is because that's the way you made it. You made choices.
It's a choice, yeah.
You did certain things and it created a certain result.
It's better to say, I choose to live in this state, because then later on you can always say, I've chosen.
You say, you look at your life and you look at the things that you don't like in your life, and it's hard to say, I've chosen this, because you don't feel that you did. But when you trace it back and you see, well, what did you do that created this? How are you thinking? Then you realize you actually did choose it, although maybe it wasn't conscious. And maybe if you could choose anything and make it happen, you wouldn't choose that. But that's the whole point. Why not choose what you want rather than accept what the modes of nature dictate, or what your senses dictate, what temptation dictates? Oh, I couldn't control my, I did this. You know, how many times you hear, well, I wanted to, you know, finish my rounds, but I got sidetracked by this, and then I, you know, that I couldn't control myself, and so I ate this big cake and ice cream late at night, and I didn't get up in the morning. So what is it? I couldn't control myself. It's not really true. It's really not true. Because if you're in the consciousness that I decide what is best, it gives you the power, because now you feel like, well, I could decide not to eat that cake and ice cream. I could decide to go to bed early. I could decide to get up early. We're thinking, no, it's my conditioning, this is the way I am, I can't decide. So if you can't decide, who's going to decide for you? Mm-hmm. There's a story a guy tells us, it's the winter and he's going in and out of the house playing when he's a little boy. And so he's half in the house and half out of the house at one moment, and the cold air is coming in. So his mother says, decide. If you're going to come in, close the door. If you're going to go out,
in or out.
And then he still leaves the door open. He's not making a decision. And she says, listen, if you don't decide, I'll decide for you. Or if you don't make up your mind, I'll make it up for you. So that's the reality of our life. If we don't make up our mind, you know someone's going to make it up for you. And not the person who's got your best interest
right.
in mind.
Or marginal potency, marginal energy.
Yeah.
Tatashta Shakti. So it's either Maya or Krishna.
Yeah. And accepting that we have that choice, that control, that's very empowering. That's like it's, so you're saying, okay. So okay, that sounds pretty simple and fundamental and basic, almost like a duh moment. You know, like they say they have aha moments. Well, that's a duh moment, of course. No, it's an aha moment, because most people don't understand that. It's a, who decides? Well, Krishna says in the Gita, you know, everything is born of the impulses of the modes of nature, and the modes are always shifting. And so then Prabhupada would say, so why are you allowing the modes to affect you? Why aren't you carving out your path rather than allowing the impulses of this world, the temptations of this world, and your autopilot mind that's doing its Ferris wheel and coming up with the 25 same thoughts every hour to adjust your control your life? Why? Say, I'm I'm worried about this, I'm concerned about this, I'm afraid of this. You know that saying, you can't solve a problem with the same mentality that created mm-hmm. it? So often, we're trying to solve a situation with the conditioning that caused it, mm-hmm. and we don't know how to reverse the process because we don't think we can. But as soon as we say, I have more control of my thought process, I have more control of my decision process, just the realization, I decide. Mm-hmm. I can decide, okay, you're out there tonight and you're thinking, I have some rounds left, but it's so late, I don't know, I'm kind of tired, I don't know if I can finish them. Well, guess what? You can decide to finish them. You actually can do that, even if you're tired, even if you don't feel like it, even if you think your rounds are going to be bad. You could actually decide to chant good rounds. And that decision can transform your energy, your ability to control, your determination.
I was really inspired reading about Jayananda Prabhu. Kalakanta Prabhu compiled some information on how after working hard on the carts all day, all the devotees would be asleep, lying in their sleeping bags on the floor, and Jayananda would just quietly sneak off. He'd be the last one to go to bed to finish his rounds, and he'd be the first one up.
Yeah, right. And during those days, Madhavisa was the temple president. And during Rath Yatra preparation, which we would prepare Rath Yatra in a two-week period, so now it normally would take like a month or two.
In San Francisco?
Yeah, so they would do this in 2 weeks because we were all young and crazy. And so Madhavisa decided that during that two-week period he wasn't going to sleep.
Oh, God.
So he made that decision. Okay, we're just going to work around the clock for 2 weeks. And I reminded him of this. He forgot. But on the third day, he actually did it for 2 days. Uh-huh. On the third day, he was just doing business. You know, he was just sitting at his desk dealing with devotees. And he just fell asleep at his desk. He didn't even know he fell asleep. He just keeled over.
I was reading this in Rancho Prime's book, When the Sun Shines.
But the point I was making, he just made a decision. Okay, you know, so you can't defy natural law. Your body needs sleep. But for 2 days, because of that decision... Yeah.
He overcame mind and matter. No, it was just reminding me of Shakshi Gopal Prabhu. He was busy painting Prabhupada's Vyasasan. He was sitting on the Vyasasan. He'd also been up for a couple of days. And so when Prabhupada arrived, he came. This was for Vyasa Puja, I think. And when he came downstairs, Shakshi had fallen asleep with the paintbrush in his hand. And Prabhupada said, don't disturb him. Just...
Those were the days. Those were the days.
Prabhupada is coming.
So it's very, you know, it's interesting because it's very clearly explained in the Gita that a living entity under the influence of the modes of nature is controlled. So it's like, who wants to be controlled? Who wants to have their life pushed in different directions that are not desirable? We all want to be Krishna conscious. If we could just paint the picture of what our life would be and it could happen, obviously that's what we want to do. But that's what we do, but we don't think it's that easy. Okay, maybe it's not that easy, but ultimately that's what it is. Oh Prabhu, I'd really like to get up early and get my rounds done. And I'll say, no, you wouldn't. If you really want to, you would. Don't kid yourself. Mm-hmm. You're allowing yourself to be controlled by the conditioning, the impulses of the modes of nature, temptation, or whatever it is. Well, I'm a night owl. Okay, you're a night owl. So what? This is Krishna
consciousness. You can change that if you want.
This is Krishna consciousness. You can decide to go to bed early, change your life. I mean, that's Krishna consciousness. It's really abruptly changing many of our habits. So when we say, I would like to, in most cases, it's not true. It's where we may like to, if it would just happen as
without
naturally, if it happened naturally, as naturally as it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if it just happened, I mean, if I just wake up at 4, yeah, I'd like to be up at 4, it's great. Well, you know, like they joke about people who are fat. They say, you probably notice that food doesn't fly off its plate into your mouth. You actually put it in there. You know? So, but people think, I don't know, it's just like...
Put it on and can't take it off.
I'm just getting fat. I can't figure it out. You have a commercial with a guy sitting on a couch eating pizza and ice cream and watching TV, and with a big belly. I said, I can't figure out how I'm getting fat. I just, you know. And Prabhupada's sister would tell Prabhupada, I'm getting fat and I hardly eat anything. And Prabhupada would just joke, because she didn't understand English, so he'd joke with his disciples. She says she's not eating anything and she's getting fat. Have you ever met anybody who doesn't eat and gets fat? So, you know, we're like we're trying to kid ourselves that, well, I'd really like to, but if you take the position, not that I'd really like to, but I'm going to. This is what I'm. This is what I want to do. Who decides? Are you going to decide, or you're just going to allow the world to go by you and just kind of pull you? If you want to be Krishna conscious, you want to do anything in life, you have to make decisions which support your desires to move ahead, and not just say, "Well, I'd really like to." She says, "That's a good one. I really like to have $1 million.
What are you going to do about it?"
Yeah, well, when, you know, I'll play the lottery. That's about as hard as I want to work for. Yeah, but you really want it, then your actions support it. Your actions have to be in alignment with your. So if you really want it, they'll be. You know, you're demonstrating it that that is your desire. It'll naturally. So that's how you know. That's how you know you're not deciding, because you know you're not deciding because your actions are not are in alignment with that decision. That's how you know it's just like, I'd like it, but you're too lazy or whatever to
actually
do it.
Actually speak louder than words.
So let's hear what Pallavi says. She says, exactly my thoughts today, that I had such a long day and it's too late to do my rounds. I'm so sleepy. Yeah. And Pallavi, if I came to your house right now and walked in the door, would you still be sleepy? I don't think so. You'd probably wake up. You'd probably go in the kitchen and cook, right? Oh, Mahatma's here. Actually, I was pretty close to your house last week in Newburgh. But, you know, what if your father just flew in from India? Would you be sleepy? What if he pulled $100,000 out of his wallet as a gift for you? Would you still be sleepy? Oh, give me the gift tomorrow. I'm too tired. No, so... consciousness affects the body. Okay, you worked hard, you're sleepy, that's true. But in a situation like that, you have to make a decision. Right? We have to make a decision to counteract what is going on. I'm sleepy, okay. What do? I have to get up, I have to walk out, I have to finish my rounds. Right? So it's a subtle thought, but it's a powerful thought. And my whole point in bringing this topic up is that we often believe that our choices are extremely limited, or we don't even see the options we have in terms of how we react to situations.
We disempower ourselves. We're our own worst enemy.
Yeah. And then, even more interesting, our emotional life, we don't see how we have control of that, or we... You know, We become upset or disturbed or intolerant, and we don't realize that I don't have to be. I can control that. I mean, isn't Prabhupada telling us to be tolerant? Isn't he telling us that the devotee controls his anger? Of course, you can utilize anger in Krishna service, but that's also a control of it. He controls his mind. He controls his senses. He's in control. That's what Krishna consciousness is. And we think, no, I'm just angry. I can't control it. In my forgiveness seminar, I make the example, let's say this is an emotion, whatever it might be, envy or jealousy or anger or whatever. And so it's in our hand and we're holding on to it, but it doesn't feel like we're holding on to it. It feels like it's holding on to us. I'm angry. And so we feel this force coming on. But number one, anger has a cause, and there's a consciousness that caused it. Ambarish didn't get angry because he was in a different consciousness. You and I would become angry at a guest who tried to kill us. And when he came back to feed him, we'd say, Get the H out of here.
Hit the road, Jack.
Yeah, before I call the police. Right? But that emotion, it's there. And so we're holding on to it, but we think it's holding on to us. So we do have control. It's like, okay, I can make a decision to drop it. I feel like saying something. I can make a decision that it's the wrong thing to say. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to respond that way. I can decide. You could actually decide to respond when you feel like responding with anger. You could actually decide to respond with kindness. You have that power. We don't think we have that power. But you can decide. I could actually be kind here when I feel like bumping this person in the head for what they did or what they said.
Or you could thank them.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for telling me that, yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's so many ways.
Or thank you for helping me to burn some of my karma.
Yeah, yeah. Or thank you for delivering the message through suffering. There was one writer, and he said, it's such a hypocrisy that all the great teachers like Buddha, Jesus, Krishna, they teach the world that the world is suffering. And that suffering is necessary for our growth, for our enlightenment, for our motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we honor them, Lord Buddha, Lord Jesus, Lord Krishna, we honor, we bow to their feet for what they've given us, for the teachings, for the enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And then that same lesson comes to us in mm-hmm. the world as an actual experience. And the very person who brought the suffering for which Krishna taught us that the world is suffering for a purpose to learn, that person becomes our abuser.
Mm-hmm.
So we bow to Krishna who teaches that the world is suffering, and we call this person a victim and want to kill him for bringing us the suffering. Interesting, isn't it?
Bhakti and Carol and Pallavi had something to say.
Bhakti and Carol, Pallavi says, actually an eye-opener. Bhakti and Carol, change of consciousness, understanding, relationship, won't have anger over the same things. She's, I think, explaining that to others.
Mm.
But then they mistake that for your weakness. So then there's the story of the scorpion. You know the scorpion? Mm. The sadhu is picking up a scorpion out of the water. I've told this before. And his friend or some man is observing it. And every time he picks up the scorpion, to put the scorpion on the land where the scorpion belongs, can't live in the water, the scorpion bites him. And so he's back in the water, and so he picks him up again. And the man is saying, why are you doing that? He said, well, if the scorpion, this little insect scorpion, is not giving up his nature to bite, why should I give up my nature to be merciful? So we as devotees are meant to be merciful. That's not a weakness, that's a sign of strength. And by being merciful, you have a higher level of consciousness. At your level of higher level of consciousness raises their consciousness. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's the nature of the scorpion to bite, and it's the nature of the sadhu to bless.
Forgive, yeah.
Be merciful. So if we elevate our consciousness, then our response will be elevated. And if our consciousness remains low, the interesting thing happens in the forgiveness workshop is something I discovered later by teaching it, was that if you're hurt and you have resentment and you're trying to figure out how to forgive, and you're going through your mind, you're thinking, they did something unforgivable. This is a horrible thing they did. How could they do that? You know, ran off with my wife, or had an affair with my husband, or
stole the business from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, stole the business from me, or lied about me, got me fired from my job, or got me kicked out of the temple, or called the police on me, whatever.
Stabbed me in the back.
So now we're trying to think how I can forgive them. But how are we thinking about it? We're thinking it from the point of view that we're angry. Right? We're angry mm-hmm. at what happened, and then we're trying to figure out how to forgive. So how can you forgive somebody when you're angry? Because resentment is anger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're existing in this lower realm of consciousness, and we're trying to work our way into a higher realm from a logical point of view. And then we'll say things like, well, if they apologize, then mm-hmm. I'll forgive them, right? So we're not solving the problem. No. We're not elevating our consciousness. My elevation of my consciousness is dependent on them apologizing. So that's that you're not taking responsibility for your own response.
That's not what Christ said when they were crucifying him. He said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do.
So, I mean, our philosophy of Krishna consciousness teaches us something that's extremely difficult to accept, that our situation in life and every way we respond to everything is is because of who we are. It's our response. It's not situations causing us to respond, but we're responding. Like the example of the brick wall, right? You know the example of the brick wall? There's a brick wall, right?
Right.
So here's a brick wall. What is it? Brick wall is a brick wall, right? But you're thinking, I don't like brick walls. It's blocking my view of the sun, or I think this wall's ugly.
But so, grandma might have had a brick house where she was serving you apple pie every time you saw her.
Oh, so then you like brick walls.
Yeah, brick it brings back good memories.
So it's just a brick wall, right? No, I hate brick walls. Just brick walls ruin my life. You know?
That's because you ran your bike into one.
Yes, I ran my bike into one when I was young. So now I'm blaming the brick wall for how
I
feel.
But I got apple pies when I went to my brick wall.
So you don't have to blame the brick wall, but I have to blame the brick wall for how I feel. That brick wall makes me mad because it reminds me of the kid who pushed me into the brick wall when I was young on my bike and I broke my leg.
But the brick wall didn't do it to you.
The brick wall didn't do it, but I hate that brick wall. So, did the GBC do it to you?
Don't wait for the brick wall to change.
Did this person do it? Did your mother do it to you? You know? So, yeah. So, is it the brick wall or is it you?
But we put our faith in authority figures, though. So.
But is it you or the brick wall? It's a response. So we don't accept that. That we're responding to it. But the brick wall, but I was running the brick wall. But it's not the brick wall's fault. The brick wall's neutral, you know?
Well, are we at fault when we put our faith in someone who fails us? Is that our
fault? You're not at fault, but if your whole life is ruined from it, that's your fault. Because you haven't picked yourself up because of it. I mean, it could be your fault that you did it. I wouldn't say necessarily it is. But it's our response. We're responding to the situation.
That's all we can be,
And we don't think we're responsible for that response. Because, well, after all, it's an ugly brick wall, and I was thrown in the brick wall, so of course... I was thrown when I was young into a brick wall, so of course I hate brick walls, and of course when I see them it makes me mad, and I think of that friend and I want to beat him up, and I hate brick walls, and I get a bat and I start pounding the brick wall with a bat. And I just sit in front of the brick wall and cry. So the brick wall is responsible for me crying. You can convince anybody of that? Of course not.
They'll lock you up.
Yeah, so like you said, now just change the brick wall for someone else. Your mother, your brother, your sister, your boss. It's not the boss, the brother, the mother. It's you.
It's not the GBC.
Not the GBC.
More comments from Jai.
Jai. So if we cannot forgive others for some reason and get angry at other situations like this, when I look into myself, I find that there is a desire related behind it. So if that particular desire is removed, then it makes me ignore other mistakes related to that. Is this true? I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that, but... Let me read it again. If we cannot forgive others for some reason and get angry at others, situations like this, when I look into myself, I find there is a desire related to, behind it. There are many things related behind it. A desire to get back at them could be one of them. So if that particular desire is removed, then it makes me ignore other mistakes related to that. I'm not sure you have to explain it. That desire, let's say you want to get back at them because you want to be right. You want to be known as being right. Then it makes me, you know, other mistakes related to that. Not necessarily, because there may be many reasons. Isn't anger another form of desire? You could say that, but Krishna distinguishes anger from desire. Because Krishna says you should try to control anger and desire. It's two separate things. So, you know, frustrate when you're just... Anger is always secondary emotion. There's something under it that's causing
it. It's kind of like the desire to get back, right?
Yeah, but anger comes secondarily. There's something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were let down, then you become angry. You expected something, didn't happen, then you become angry.
Well, Krishna says that anger is due to uncontrolled lust.
Yeah.
Or frustrated.
In some cases, or things you can't control. Forgiving is never, it never creates a problem unless you forgive in a weird way. Maybe you're forgiving just to be one up on somebody, or you're forgiving just to ignore something, as you say. So, I mean, anything's possible, but still, there's a principle that a Brahmin is forgiving. So it's like the scorpion and the sadhu. It's like that's It's what we're supposed to do. And so we learn what we're supposed to do, and then we act that way.
Bhakti and Carol was asking, where can I find the story of the scorpion? She was looking for it. You know where it's from?
I don't know, but it's around. But that's basically the story. It's not much more than that.
And Bhakti and Carol also was mentioning about something in the Bible?
About turning cheek and giving code. It has to do with karma reaction, I think. Looking at whether we are acting for... basically...
creating new karma. For our own satisfaction, creating new karma.
I'm not sure. I'm not a Bible scholar. But... I know about... Jesus said if someone slaps you, give them the other cheek. So they can slap that other cheek. You see, the position of a devotee, at least those of us who want to be devotees, the position is that we're learning to react to situations based on Krishna consciousness, not based on past conditioning. So we're so used to reacting based on past conditioning that it becomes normal for us. Normal, so normal to the point that we don't believe there is any other way to react. And so that's why we have to become aware of what how a devotee would react. And we think, well, this is a great devotee, not myself. It's not true. It's not true. You're not bound by your conditioning if you want to react in a different way. You do have the power. Maybe it won't come in a second, maybe it won't be perfect, but you do hold the power within you to make other choices. You can choose to respond to unkindness with kindness. You always have that choice.
And if you choose that enough times, after a while, it'll just be who you are.
Yeah, exactly. You can make these choices. I mean, as you see in Srila Prabhupada's actions, the way he would respond to situations. It was always with an understanding, with a sympathy, with a kindness, with a desire to help, a desire to instruct. So it was never based on an impulse born of some conditioned, frustrated response to get back at someone. It was always based on concern for that person. I mean, our conditioning goes so deep because we're often impersonalized people. We may treat them as dirt, not as human beings. We just use them, you know, employ them, you know, pay them a minimum wage, employ them, use women as objects for sense gratification, exploit ethnic groups, get angry at people, you don't care.
Slave labor.
So this is our conditioned response to dealing with this world. It's all about us. It's all about what we want, what we need, and using other people. But a devotee is different, therefore his response is different. It's not based on one-upmanship. It's based on helping people. And when you're in that consciousness to help people, you become very tolerant. You respond with kindness. You don't judge people. Oh, look at that person. He must be or she must be like this or that. You're thinking, here's a person who could really use Krishna consciousness. They must be. They're wandering in this world suffering. That's how a devotee thinks. You see it. Prabhupada expressed that so many times. His concern for people. And told us we should also have that concern. So then you might say, I don't have that concern. Right? I'm just a conditioned soul. But he's asking us to have it. So what does that mean? That means we must have some ability to evoke that. Mm-hmm. That, like my friend Archana Siddhi said, she always said, you always have this choice of the higher, of acting on higher self or lower self. He said, you always... every situation, you're going to make a choice based on, do I want to exploit, or do I want to do something that's going to, it's going to be
better.
Coming from higher consciousness, mm-hmm. You know, from devotee consciousness. Does a devotee, okay, I may feel like saying something, doing something, but is this how a devotee behaves? And then we can monitor that, but we think, oh. And so many of you who are probably listening to this, they're thinking, oh, you really can't do that. So then what are you going to do now? You can't do that, so just go with the modes? Is that the plan? Just whatever it is.
It's the only recourse.
Yeah, so but that's then just go with the modes. Where does it say that anywhere in any instruction in Prabhupada's books that you really can't control yourself, so just go with the modes? Okay, maybe you're a Shudra. You're just like, that's who you are. You know? But still, Shudras had control. There were restrictions. So it's a different paradigm, different level of restriction, but it wasn't just do anything, I'm a Shudra, you know.
Yeah.
It's always like that. So, found the story of the scorpion. So she found it. It's up there. But articles.timesofindia.indiatimes.... Wow.
What you were speaking of reminded me of this story. Maybe you've told it in one of your broadcasts before. A man was on a what do they call it, in Times Square, Grand Central Station, the subway. And he had his children.
Oh, yeah.
And they were creating this big ruckus, and the father was just sort of sitting there, kind of oblivious to how his children were creating all this disturbance. And then finally, one of the other passengers said, "Excuse me, sir, but... do you think you could do something about your kids? They're kind of like bothering everyone here in the train." And the man like came out of his stupor and said, Oh yeah, you're right. We're just coming from the hospital where their mother just died a few minutes ago. And so they're pretty affected by that." And then the man realized how limited his perception was of the situation.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point, because our conditioning causes us to see things in one way. So if you see it, if you're always seeing it in the same way, then you're always responding in the same way. So obviously in this situation, there was another vision, so there's another response.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, you know, if our nature is to be envious or jealous or prejudiced or angry or whatever it is, and that we just continue viewing the world based on that, then we always are getting the same response. "You should do this for me. Why didn't you do it? Don't you know who I am?" You know. So you change that to, "I am your servant. I expect nothing from you. I want to serve you." So then your response to not being served changes. Or, "This is a nice devotee." "No, it's not a nice devotee." So now you see him not a nice devotee. So what happens? You'll be critical. You say, "This is a nice devotee." Same devotee, new vision. "He's a nice devotee." Oh, then you'll naturally want to praise him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same person doing the same thing. And your experience is different based on
perception.
Your perception. What you label him, what your preconceived notion is. Not blaming one who delivers our misery. There are plenty of people out there to deliver misery. So you don't want to blame them all, because ultimately we know we create the misery ourselves.
Gopal Krishna Maharaj once said to me, "You know, we're fighting the war against Maya, but we should make sure that our guns are pointed in the right direction and not at one another."
What do they call that in the army? Killed by friendly gunfire?
Oh yeah.
Friendly fire.
Okay.
Yeah. Accidentally, sometimes in war, you kill your own men. Because I've never been in the military, but I guess you can't tell at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyone have any questions? It's already 9:27. So we went longer to compensate for the problem with the internet. So. These are deep things to ponder, and I'm just asking all of you who are listening to this to be open to it, because I know for some of you, just the idea to accept that your life is the way it is because of of the choices you make, the responses you're making, the way you're seeing things, is hard to accept, especially when things don't go well. It's very difficult to accept, but the more you understand it, the more impetus it will give you to take more control of what you're doing, because you understand now more clearly that you're creating the situations by your own actions, by your own thinking, by your own consciousness. Right? Jai agrees. He said right. Or she said right.
I was just thinking, some of the points you've made is, one another analogy is in how people often neglect their health, and then after they become sick enough, they go to a doctor and they expect the doctor to fix them. It's because they gave their power away. They didn't love themselves enough. They didn't take care of themselves.
Yeah. Or they sue the cigarette company for their cancer. I mean, that's like the height of insanity.
You didn't tell us that this is bad for our health.
No, it was on the package, but we're going to sue you anyway. Okay, so thank you all for coming. And next Tuesday, where will I be? Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure where I'm
going. That's Vyasa Puja Day, Prabhupada. It's Vyasa Puja.
It is, but not in Alachua. Alachua, it's Monday.
Oh, really?
It's Vyasa Puja up here in Canada and upstate New York.
It's not a different time, Florida.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's like maritime time?
It's it's Eastern Standard Time, but Janmashtami-wise, Janmashtami is Sunday in Alachua.
Oh, really?
And Monday up here, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where I'm going to be Tuesday night, but I don't want to say I'm not going to be here, but I can't say 100% I will be here. So stay tuned and we'll keep you posted. All right?
Thanks for allowing me to share this broadcast.
You're welcome. My pleasure to have you. Hare Krishna.
Panchakalpa.
We'll see you next week, hopefully. Smile, Gaura. We're signing off. Hari Bol.
Well, that was different.